Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you today, even if it is virtually. I hope that you are well and resting and taking advantage of what can be a frustrating situation. There's always the bright side to look at, right? We're starting a new series, as Pastor Dale was saying, called Get Real. And really what we want to do over these next few weeks is look at authenticity. It is one of those things that people want to see in us. And it's the cry of the heart, really, of this generation, that we would live out our faith authentically, that we would be people of authenticity, that we wouldn't be people who are fake and are just kind of pretending, but that our beliefs would impact the way that we live in such a way that people get to see the truth, not just of who we are, but also the truth of who Jesus is. And the reality is that living and walking with Jesus amplifies authenticity. It actually should. Living and walking with Jesus should amplify authenticity. There should be no reason, actually, that we would want to live a life that is fake or is trying to pretend that things are not the way that they aren't, but rather living in such a way that we're wanting to share our faith with people and they get to see the real Jesus through our real lives, ups and downs, just in honesty and vulnerability. And so today, over the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of hone in on certain aspects of the character of Jesus, certain aspects of our lives that we wish we could live authentically in. And today I want to look at authentic peace. It's an interesting one, actually, for me to choose because I need to confess to you that I am someone who can spiral into turmoil pretty quickly and pretty easily. And I am somebody who outwardly doesn't like to admit it, that I inwardly worry. I worry a lot. And I'm the kind of person who can carry that sort of stress. And given the opportunity to be without peace, I'm someone who finds myself in a situation where I will live without peace without thinking about it. I'm someone who internalizes. I'm someone who stresses and doesn't like to talk about it because I kind of feel like I need to live as somebody who, you know, looks peaceful. And yet a lot of the time I'm just not. And I think a lot of us live in that way. We actually find that, especially in times like this, peace is one of those elusive things. We kind of feel like we get to a certain level, we get to a certain stage, and then things fall apart or things change, and then all of a sudden we discover that our coping mechanisms are not quite what we thought they were. But when I think about peace and I think about authentic peace, I can recognize that there are people who I've known in right throughout my Christian life, actually, just a handful of people who I would say that person was an authentically peaceful person. That person was somebody who carried peace as part of their being, as part of their life, and they lived out their faith in a practical way, showing the peace of Jesus, showing the peace of God. And I want to be like that. I want to be someone who is like that, because living and walking with Jesus amplifies authenticity. I want to live with that kind of peace. And so hopefully today as we look at the scripture and look at one of the stories from the life of Jesus, we will start to see some things that may help us on that journey of authentic peace. We're looking at Matthew chapter 8 today, and starting from verse 23 and through to verse 27. It says this: "Then he got into the boat," that's Jesus, "and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We're going to drown.' And he replied, 'You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" Now, it's one of these kind of classic stories of Jesus that we may know or have heard of multiple times. But I think it's got some keys in it for us to learn from. You know, the Sea of Galilee is known for being a place where there would be sudden storms. When I was there just a couple of years ago, We went out on the Sea of Galilee just for a swim at dusk, and our guide had said to us, you know, dinner time, blah, blah, blah. He said there's a railing, or not a railing so much as like a line of buoys along the edge, and he said, make sure you stay this side of it because a storm could come. And we're looking, I'm just looking up at the sky going, it's fine. There's like two clouds in the sky. There are no storms coming. And he goes, no, it happens without notice here. They just rise up and they just come. And the thing for me that's interesting with that is that these disciples, at least a handful of these disciples, were used to that, right? Because they were fishermen. So they're used to being out on the sea. They're used to being out on the Sea of Galilee. They're used to storms coming. They're used to this kind of the suddenness of this happening. But this one was different, because I imagine that fishermen who were used to storms would not usually then respond and say, we're going to die. So they were reacting to how ferocious this storm was. It was huge, and it was something that they probably had not experienced before. But what's happening here is Jesus chooses to go to sleep. And the reason that I say he chooses to go to sleep is that Jesus knew the storm was coming. He led these guys into it. He led these guys across the lake, across the Sea of Galilee, knowing that the storm was coming. But he chooses to go to sleep. Mark actually says in his version of the story in Mark chapter 4, he says he was asleep on a cushion. I love that. It's almost like he sort of added that in to make it sound like he was having a really lovely, comfortable little nap, you know. But I'm thinking, you know, when there's a storm and the boat is rocking around, and it's not like it's, you know, a massive cruise ship or anything. This is a boat that would be used on the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago. It wasn't a luxury vessel. And Jesus is still asleep. I mean, that's one good sleeper, right? That's somebody who can seriously sleep and not worry. And the thing that I find fascinating about this, and as we're talking about peace, is that sleep and good sleep, deep sleep, is an indicator of peace. It's actually an indicator of being peaceful. I am somebody who does not sleep well. I am somebody who is a night worrier. You might identify with that as well. Who knows? I have a husband who is an excellent sleeper. He can fall asleep anytime, anywhere, in a very short period of time. I take ages to fall asleep, and I will often toss and turn through the night depending on what's happening in my head. The worry and the stress actually is an indicator that I'm not at peace, you see. As Jesus here in the boat was totally at peace. He was able to sleep in the midst of ferocious waves, the tossing, the turning of the waves, to stay asleep in the midst of that. And I think there's a key reason for that. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He understands peace innately. He understands what it is to be at peace in the midst of hardship, in the midst of challenge, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of chaos going on around him. He understands that because he is the Prince of Peace. And so when I look at Jesus then and I think about us and the way that we live our lives and the various anxieties that we might face, it reminds me that if we want authentic peace, the only place to find it is by learning from the Prince of Peace. The only place to find it, truly authentic peace, is by learning it from him, because he understands it better than anyone else. In this story, we have the disciples. They cry out to him in distress. And I love that. I love that they were loud about it. They go, wake up, Master. Don't you care? We're going to die. We're going to drown here. And they cry out to him. And this is one of the key things, I think. Authentic peace isn't authentic if it's pretend. It's not real if it's pretend. And that might sound really, really obvious, but in this scenario, if they were not to let him know what their fear was, they would be pretending to have peace rather than actually having it. And Jesus wants something bigger for us. He wants something greater for us than pretend peace. He wants us to understand true, authentic, innate peace. One that is learned over time, one that is experienced as we walk with him and we learn more about him and we lean into him as the Prince of Peace. And so as I look through this passage, I found a few different things that authentic peace is built on. And the first one is this: authentic peace is built on the purpose of the Prince of Peace. The reason I say the purpose is that Jesus purposed for them to be in this storm. He led them there. Two out of the three gospel writers who wrote this story down for us talk about Jesus saying to them, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." He led them. And so they hop into the boat and they head off. And as far as they're concerned, they're just going to the other side. Jesus is aware that the storm is coming. He knew it was imminent. And I have no doubt that that's actually why he chose to go to sleep. Because what Jesus was wanting to do was to lead them to a place where he could actually show them, it's okay, I've got this. He had a purpose for them. And the purpose for them was to be in that storm. Now, this is difficult for us sometimes to reconcile. Because we might think to ourselves, well, was Jesus deliberately leading me into hardship? Well, no. No, not necessarily. But is he using the hardship to grow me? Absolutely. Will he use the storm that I'm in to refine me, to grow me deeper into him, and to take me to a deeper level of maturity, to understand him more, to become more authentic in the way that I live out my life and live out my faith and walk with him? Absolutely, he will do that. He has a purpose for every situation that we go through. And for those of us who currently are dealing with really tough stuff, massive challenges in our lives, that's difficult. Because what it requires for us is to come to him then and say, Lord, if this is a storm that you are going to do something in, I am going to lean into you and cry out to you rather than leaning away from you and trying to push the whole thing down. It requires us to lean in, to come to him like the disciples did and say, Lord, don't you care? Because the answer that he will give us is, of course I care. And watch what I will do in the midst of this. Authentic peace is built on the purpose of the Prince of Peace. The second thing is this: authentic peace is built on the promise of the Prince of Peace. What's fascinating to me here is that Jesus had already told them the outcome. They're going, we're going to die. He's going, no, you're not. I told you we were going to the other side. That's what I said. And that's his promise, right? His word is his promise. Let us go to the other side. He had a destination in mind, and so he'd spoken to them, and he expected that they would listen to that and believe that. And that in the midst of the storm, they would somehow anchor themselves in the place and find some peace in the place that says, he told us we were going to the other side. He told us where we were going. Therefore, we will get through this. Therefore, we will survive this. You see, if we were to be honest about it, often for us, it really isn't the trial that has us so distressed. It's that question, does God care? Does God notice? Does Jesus care about my existing situation? Is he interested? And does he want to see me through it? And it's in those times that we need to be reminded that he has promises for us. And his promises are greater than the storm that we are in right now. Jesus was tired, he rested, but beyond that, he had the Father's assurance that they would reach the other side, and he had passed that on to the disciples. The third thing is this: authentic peace is built on the presence of the Prince of Peace. In the midst of this storm, Jesus was in the boat. He hadn't sent them off by themselves. He hadn't said, oh, off you go, and I'll just watch you from the shore and you make sure that you survive. But rather, he was in the boat with them. His presence was with them. And the thing for us is that we might be in situations where fear comes up, but the presence of Jesus allows us the opportunity not to let fear rule, but rather to notice his presence, to engage with his presence, to stay near in his presence. We get to choose whether or not we're going to be so fearful and so afraid that it's going to be harmful to us. because Jesus is with us. In verse 40, Jesus is essentially saying, why are you afraid when I'm in the boat? Why are you so concerned? It's me. It's not just anybody. I'm in the boat with you. Does that make a difference to you? Because it should really make a difference. And when he turns to them and he says to them, you have little faith, he chooses, in Matthew's account anyway, to rebuke them before he rebukes the storm. He says, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And then he turns to the storm and he says, peace, be still. And he tells it to be calm. But to them, first of all, he's saying, I'm in the boat with you. I am present with you. You have to be aware, you have to acknowledge that and see that in order to be able to feel the assurance and the confidence that the presence of Jesus brings. I love as well that he says, you have little faith. When Matthew talks about little faith, he talks about little faith in another place where he talks about a mustard seed. How much do you need? How much faith do you need? Jesus says. Well, faith as small as a mustard seed, is enough to cause a mountain to fall into the sea. And here he says to the disciples, you have little faith. Here's the point. If you have little faith, just a little faith, that is enough. That is enough to see the power of God in your life, to see him bringing you through those storms, to understand the presence of Jesus in the boat with you in the midst of those storms. That's all we need, just a little faith, to begin building authentic peace. The fourth thing is this: authentic peace is built on the power of the Prince of Peace. Jesus has power over storms. God has power over the storms of your life, the storms of today. You know, so many of us at the moment are asking, well, what about the storms that are raging right now? And for each person, it's different. And that question, that eternal question that so many of us are asking right now, well, how long, Lord? Psalms is a good place where you find that question, you know? But here's the thing. Jesus has power over storms. And what I find fascinating here is that the disciples would have known Scripture really, really well. They knew the Psalms of David. They knew the Torah. They knew the stories of the Old Testament. They knew Psalms like this. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The disciples knew that passage. They knew this passage in Psalm 65, verse 7. God who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves and the turmoil of the nations. Psalm 89, verse 9. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. Psalm 107, verse 29. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. The disciples knew these passages of Scripture. They understood that God had power over nature. They understood that Jesus would be able to calm the storm. And yet, when it came down to it, the understanding of those Scriptures were just platitudes to them. And the reason I say that is because if they believed it rather than just knowing it, their response would have been different. And this is where the rubber hits the road when it comes to authenticity. Because we can say the Bible says this and God is this and I have this knowledge about who he is and what he can do. But it's not until we actually find ourselves in an experience where we learn and understand his power and find that intimacy with him and understand his presence and come close to him that we will understand that knowledge come to truth and belief in our soul. It's not enough to just have a platitude. Oh, God will get me through it. Isn't it a good day? That's pretending. But having an understanding of it, because he did this, because of this situation in my life, because of this experience where I saw him, he never failed me, that is where you start to grow into authenticity into a place of authentic peace. Through the storm, the disciples learned more than words. They learned more than the words they'd grown up with. They were scared of the storm, but what they discovered was that a storm is nothing to fear compared with the power of God. And in this instance, they got to see his power in action, and the words that they had grown up with became real in their soul because they got to see and experience it. And that's the thing. Authentic peace is one that is learned through experience. It actually happens over time. If you feel like, oh, you know, I've known Jesus for X amount of years and I still battle with anxiety, or I still battle with, you know, a lack of peace or with worrying or whatever, like I do overnight, I don't have an issue with telling you that and being honest with you about that, because I understand that actually learning authentic peace takes time and it takes multiple experiences. It's not something that just happens. It's not something that he just bestows on you. Sometimes he gives us supernatural peace in a really terrifying situation. Absolutely, he does that. But actually living from a place of authentic peace constantly and honestly and with vulnerability, that takes experience and it takes time. It takes multiple storms for him to show us that he is trustworthy in those situations. And so I have faith that at some point I will grow to that maturity where worry will no longer be an issue, where worry will no longer be something that grips me and holds on to me. And every year and every day, as I grow in those experiences with him, authentic peace becomes more of a reality in my life. When I look at the experiences that Jesus took the disciples through, classic, this first one, you know, here they are, they're in this storm, they're going, we're going to die, you know, Jesus is in the boat with them. But there was another storm situation where they were in the very same place on the Sea of Galilee. Storm comes. The waves are buffeting the boat. It wasn't as much of a big storm as far as Scripture tells us. Matthew chapter 14. And the wind and the waves are buffeting them, but Jesus is not in the boat with them. He said, I'll see you on the other side, and he's waiting for them. But he sees the boat. He sees them in distress. And so he walks out on the water toward them. And at this point, you see that actually there has been growth. They're not crying out to him, we're going to die. When they see him and they realize who it is, Peter says, I'm actually going to start to live with a bit more faith now, because I saw your power before, so I can actually have a little bit more faith here. He says, let me come out of the boat and walk toward you. Jesus says, come. So Peter's taking a huge step of faith, given what they had dealt with the first time in the first storm. You see this growth. Obviously, Peter loses his faith as he's walking on the water, but he's walked on at least a couple of steps on water, and I haven't, and you haven't, so good on him for trying. But he starts to lose his faith halfway, but you see this growth progression that's happening with the disciples as the storms come. And it's the same growth progression that happens for us. As the storms come, as we go through each of them, Jesus, if we engage with him, if we come close to him, if we choose to seek him as the Prince of Peace, he brings us closer to that authentic peace. In Hebrews 12, verse 11, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. And later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You see, he's bringing us, he's training us, he's bringing us along, he's allowing these experiences so that we can grow deeper into him. Both of these passages, the disciples are surprised. See, this isn't a lesson that we learn once. And what happens is that we often forget what it is to live in peace because the circumstances we face are immediate and they are shouting at us. The wind and the waves are shouting at us for our attention, trying to tell us, trying to destabilize us and tell us, you are in danger, you should fear. And Jesus is there going, no, hang on. I have a purpose. I have a promise. You have my presence and I have power over this. So lean into me. Come and find your authentic peace in me. When you jump forward and look at the lives of the disciples further on, we discover incredibly peaceful people. We find people who are prepared to go and live out the gospel and plant the church rapidly throughout the empire at the time, and prepared to be martyrs, give up their lives for the gospel and for Jesus. And the stories in the history books of those disciples that we have talk about their confidence, their peace, how assured they were at the time of their death. These are the same people who in that boat were crying out, "Don't you care?" Prepared to walk in peace to their death. That's authentic peace. And it's peace that has grown through example and through experience as Jesus has taken them through different storms in their lives. When we need authentic peace, we need to acknowledge the storm, acknowledge our fear, and anchor our confidence in the Prince of Peace. Today, I wonder where you're at in regard to this. Because I know for some of us, we struggle with this, you know, and I've admitted that to you even now. And what I want to do is I want to pray over you and ask for a revelation of the peace of Jesus right now in the midst of your life, in the midst of your situation, whether it's turmoil or not, and that he would, by his Holy Spirit, keep teaching us in the midst of the inevitable storms of life. But then what I'm going to do with Denise and TK is we're going to sing over you this song, Oceans. And I would love for you to just allow the song allow yourself to meditate as the song is sung over you, reminding you of the peace of who Jesus is, the Prince of Peace, that he wants to bring you to that place of peace rather than fear, of freedom from that anxiety. That it's not necessarily the storm that's the issue, but rather the storm in your soul. You know, the last time that I sang this song, actually, I was on the Sea of Galilee, on a boat, singing it with my two gorgeous sisters, totally unaware that in a year's time, it was actually 6 months' time after that, that COVID would hit and we would be in such a different world than what we were then. And in that place, singing that song, understanding this is the place where the storms happened and Jesus came to his disciples. He was there and he walked them through it. It was an incredibly powerful experience. I can't bring you to the Sea of Galilee today and I can't sing it from there for you, but I would love for you to imagine being in the boat with Jesus and allowing that peace to flow as we sing the song over you. But first we're going to just pray. Let's pray, shall we? Jesus, I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. Usually we only ever hear about that at Christmas time, but it doesn't stop the fact that that's who you are. Someone who could travel through the hardest of hardships, most difficult of circumstances. Someone who traveled through suffering, who knows our suffering in every single way, the scripture tells us. And yet because you are with us, we can have confidence, and confidence brings peace. I thank you that you are authentic in the way that you live out your peace. You are authentic in the way that you show us what faith is. You are authentic in the way that you draw us even through the storms of life to bring us to a place where we know you better, where we are anchored in you more, and that we learn confidence in who you are. And we want to say to you, Lord, this morning, we are hopeful for what you're going to do. For those of us today who are feeling like we're in the midst of a storm, and some of us even struggling to cry out the words, "Help me, Lord, I'm drowning." I want to pray for your supernatural peace now. And I pray that you would draw us closer. By your Holy Spirit, you would bring us into a place of closer, deeper intimacy with you so that we can understand the confidence of your presence, your power, your promise to us, your purpose for us. Teach us your peace, Lord. We know that you want to give it as a gift. Draw us closer to you, I pray. Help us to release our fears. Holy Spirit, come, I pray in Jesus' name.